is an Auburn Network production.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well. Well, let's say, at least on my side of town, it was dry. I came into town, and the streets were wet.
Yeah, got a little rain on my side of town. It was only about a five-minute splash, but at least it was a little something.
5 minutes would beat, got. Yes. Yeah, I mean, I was out on the south side there, you know, across the interstate, and it was nothing but sunshine. I was a little surprised. But, yeah, maybe you got some rain wherever you are, whatever. It is humid. It may not be the hottest, but it is very humid outside. Here we are on the eve of the start of football practice. And, of course, it's going to be hot and humid. That's the way it is. Welcome in, everybody, at Bill and Jason Caldwell from Auburn 24/7 here in the studio. Got Brandon at the controls again. And, Jason, I mean, today, you know, from today on, we can actually talk about things, involving players and coaches and not just speculating, because we got Alex Golish and both coordinators today.
Yeah, no, not sure that we expected quite what we got today, though.
There was some news, disappointing news.
And you think about it, it's like there hadn't been that much time for the guys because they had a little bit of time off.
Right.
But, you know, we walk into Alex Golish today and he says, look, Ty Buster's out maybe up to half of the season.
Right. I mean, he went through a few guys. Then he said, and Ty Buster.
He said, unfortunate deal.
Yep. So obviously, very recently.
It had to be very, very recent. And so, look, you're talking about, like, offensive line guys. He is one of the guys that you said would probably be one of your five, but I would say definitely one of your top six
top
guys.
Top seven or eight, for yeah. sure. I felt like he's a guy that had really stepped up yep. And as a guy that we'd seen work at both guard and tackle.
Yep, so you look and go. Now, it obviously puts the onus even more on Stanton Ramil now to be ready to go at tackle.
Right.
You feel like you got – the good thing is that, listen, they have done a much better job of building depth on the mm-hmm. offensive line. There's more possibilities.
Many more options.
There's a lot more options up there. Listen, Ty Buster's a guy that we thought was going to be ready to go but had not done it yet. So you're not losing a veteran guy, but you're losing a guy that you thought was one of your best guys.
Mm-hmm.
Can he get back in the middle of the year? The good thing is you don't have to worry about red shirt. He's already red shirt.
Right.
He can just play however much he needs to play. But now, look, you go Stanton Ramil becomes, I think.
Even more important
I think he becomes the most important player in camp. He was already one of those guys. I think he becomes the most important guy in camp that is an unknown. I think you obviously Byron
right.
Brown, there's a bunch of guys that
oh,
are
no.
there. But you're talking about needing to step up. It starts now with Stanton Ramil at one of those tackle spots for this Auburn offensive line.
Yeah, because if he can, you know, if he can be healthy, stay healthy, and be the player that Auburn was expecting and hoping they'd get when they brought him in from Michigan State. I mean, he and Joe Simmons give you a pair of experienced tackles. Then he mentioned Wilson's ear. Who is a very talented
yes.
freshman? They mentioned Parker Pritchard as well,
another freshman,
Ty Hedrick.
Yes,
young guys. But I mean, boy, you'd like to have those guys that have been around the block, so to speak,
yeah.
in college football.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We haven't heard Jack Lehrer and Jacob Strand.
No,
they're two guys that have experience at tackle, have played guard, have played at the Power Four level. Those will be guys I'm interested to see.
Mm-hmm.
Are we looking at those guys more as 6-7-8 guys, or are they going to have a shot to jump in there somewhere?
Well, I mean, I wonder, too, if they're a little hesitant to mention him because they weren't out there as much this spring either. They
Correct.
Missed time
yeah.
this spring.
So now you look and go, you got really, other than Joe Simmons and Cole Best, because even Cole Skinner's not greatly
experienced. He wasn't an every-game starter.
Your three most experienced guys outside of those two are the three guys that were out there very little in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you look at what can those guys be. I think they probably feel – I think they probably feel like they know Stanton Ramil a lot more because they recruited him out of high school.
Right.
So they've seen this guy now and have kind of followed his career a little bit. Much less on the that is known about Lair and Jacob Strand. And so now it becomes, okay, what do you see out of those guys? Because I've been including them in my previews just mm-hmm. because I think there's value with experience.
Yeah, you don't bring in an experienced guy without, you know, thinking yeah. they can help you.
Absolutely. And so what have they been like from spring to now?
Right.
That'll be interesting to see. And so we'll get to start to see some of that tomorrow as we get to see guys on the field for the first time.
And, I mean, again, everything that was said by Alex Golish and Joel Gordon about Stanton Ramil was really positive. I mean, was it Joel that was talking about he's a sort of a fun-loving guy, a guy who – but, I mean, but yeah, a leader.
Said he kind of brought a spark. And like, it's interesting because, I've known Stanton since he was a junior in high school, and sometimes you don't see those things from our point of view.
Sure.
And I don't see that from Stanton.
Yeah, you're not a peer.
Right. Which is interesting because – I love to hear that because,
mm-hmm.
I've talked the same thing about people like DJ Durkin. They go, man, that guy is hilarious. And I'm like, you would not know that from our point of view because he keeps everything buttoned
right.
up. And so I think the same thing about Stanton now. You're looking and going, look, he's a guy that obviously has impacted his teammates and his coaches so far.
Yeah, even though he hasn't been able to show it on the field for them, it seems like he has the respect of his teammates and his coaches.
Yep, and so I think that to me then becomes, you know, impact guy number one for me is how is he able to progress throughout camp? Can he solidify that other tackle spot? Because it feels like Cole Best is at center. Derek Plaz, it feels like, is at left guard. Then you might have – I mean, there might be 5-6 guys that then you could push at right guard and go, is it Cole Skinner? Is it Jacoby Ward? Is it Jack Lair? Is it Jacob Strand? Is it Kenneth McManus? And, like – there's a lot of names that you could plug into that other guard spot if Plaz mm-hmm. is able to be that
no
guy.
No question.
And so you start looking at that going, okay, how does it shake out?
But again, it again shows you that if Stanton can be there, then you've got a lot of options for one spot.
Correct. Basically. Yeah, it's much easier to find the one guy than mm-hmm. it is to try to figure out two of them.
Oh yeah. So that was one side. The other side, a continuation, Jason, of the praise for Auburn High School product Omar Mabson, who I mean has ever since he stepped on campus, he has been impressing. But he has really impressed Alex Golish, Joel Gordon, the Auburn staff, and obviously some veteran players that have been around and seen what this, you know, just what this young man's made of.
Yeah, you know, this crazy to think about, like he should still be a true freshman.
Yeah.
So he's got a year under his belt. But I ran into him today, and like he's just gotten bigger and stronger. And I do think it's
interesting. Well, he's just 18.
Like he's getting, like he looks the part for sure. And he's not the stature of other backs, and like he's
no, but you know, he's got that low center of gravity.
I made this point, and I was thinking about it, and I have been thinking about it for years. But when you think about the greatest running backs of all time, you have Eric Dickerson, who's taller, and you have mm-hmm. Derrick Henry now, who's taller, and you have a few other guys who have been a little bit taller. Most of the great running backs in history have been 5'8", 5'9", 200 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Most all of them. When you think about Emmitt Smith, Barry Sanders,
Walter Payton.
Thurman Thomas, Walter Payton, all those guys are all that size, low center of gravity, run through tackles, but good footwork, but strong and physical,
right.
And can finish and stay underneath their pads. That's what Omar Mabson is. And so, listen, we've been talking about him all summer, going, listen, we're hearing that he has been doing this, and this, and the coaches came out today. It's like, hey,
exactly he was the first when running backs were asked about. Omar Mabson was the first name mentioned.
Yeah,
by both Alex Golish and Joel Gordon, and then they of course go and of course Jeremiah Cobb's a 1,000-yard rusher returning, so he's the other guy. But it's like they're your top two guys right now.
I don't think there's any question about it. Can that change between now and September 5th? Absolutely. There's no question in my mind going into tomorrow that's the breakdown at that position
mm-hmm.
is those two guys, and then. Hey, is it Bryson Washington? Is it Tay Meadows? Alvin Henderson?
Mekhi Davenport?
Like, you got six players there. And so you'll see a rotation. But, listen, they said, you know, Alex Goldschmidt would like to have 3.5, and Joel Gordon said, we'd like to have 4.
I want 4. He wants 4 whole ones.
But it's going to be hard because you have a quarterback that's going to get carries too. It's going to be really, really difficult to get past a third guy unless you have to have him. So you're
well. I mean, what they both, you know, what they're both talking about is having, you know, two guys who are your primary guys, and then a third that can come in and give either one of them a blow, and then you need somebody else in case because somebody's liable to get banged up.
Yes, and so that's it. And but yeah, a lot of interesting things today, and it's something that I wrote about last week that is now officially public. But it's actual camp.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
I spoke to a couple of folks last week, and they're like,
there are rougher places you could go to camp.
Yeah, it's you know, it's kind of like an NFL one where some of them went to old dorms on college campuses, and some of them actually get to go like the Cowboys used to go to Thousand Oaks, California, or whatever. Like, yeah, going to Grand National and staying out there is not roughing it. But it's
great to be able to get the whole team 100%. And have them right there focused on nothing
13 days.
Yeah, the first because we're 2 weeks away from the start
of
classes.
So you're talking about for 13 days, they're going to be together. They already had the buses lined up when we left today.
Yep.
So they're getting ready.
And Coach Golish was saying they're taking their keys up.
Yep.
You know, when the players
showed
up for the
meeting.
No car
keys, that's it. And so I think it's great. So they will go to the hotel tonight, have team dinner, meetings, all those things, come to campus tomorrow morning. And when they do, they'll be on campus as a group and won't leave until tomorrow night.
Yep, get back on the buses
back to the
and
hotel.
Go back.
So they'll have team meals, meetings, practice, obviously, all those things that you do. And then a couple of days mixed in there where they're going to go eat together at the Hayday Market and go to a movie and do some things like that. So, look, this is – true camp experience, and I called Kirk Sampson today, and I was like, when's the last time you can remember a true camp experience for an Auburn team? And it's been at least, I think, 15 years. I think it's probably early Gene Chizik time when you still had Sewell Hall and you still had an actual dorm, because once that happened, the older players moved off campus, and then it became an impossibility to do that. So I think we're looking at probably a 15-year window that you haven't had true, authentic camp experience where you're there all day together and you stay together at night, all those things. And so, listen, it's not going to hurt. Who knows how much it helps, but it absolutely isn't anything that's going to impact you in a negative way. I think it's going to be really positive for the program.
Oh, I agree. I was pleased to hear that when Alex Golish said that. All right, we're just underway here on the Tuesday Drive with Bill and Jason here in the studio. It is Tuesday, though, and we're going to be joined by the voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, as we will be each Tuesday throughout the Athletic 26-27 season, and he'll join us when we come back. So stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
Now, more of The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill, Jason Caldwell here in the studio. We've got Brandon at the controls, and we're going to head to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Welcome in our good friend, voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham. Andy, how you doing today?
Bill, Jason, I'm doing very well. Good to be with you. Good to be with you on the eve before it all begins for Auburn football.
Oh yeah, yeah. The buses were there, lined up, ready to take the players to Grand National for camp. We were just talking about that a couple of minutes ago, Andy, and I really like that idea of you know, having them in a complete focused atmosphere for the next couple of weeks.
As I was walking in for the press conference today, Byron Brown was walking out, and I wonder what goes through his mind, because he's been through this before. I mean, they did this all 3 years at South Florida. The Alex Golish was the head coach. So he, along with those guys that played at USF last year, probably have an idea of what it's like to get away like this. I remember way back in the day, Jerry DiNardo, when he was at Vanderbilt, talking about his team and taking his team off campus and going to Bellbuckle, Tennessee, which is just south of Nashville. But, you know, there are all those stories about those teams that go off and are kind of sequestered. Of course, Auburn will be back on campus for the day. You know, they get back, they probably have breakfast together, and then they'll get ready for practice, and then they'll be there until they head back tomorrow night. So I like the idea. I hope it goes well for this team. For a lot of these guys, it'll be something brand new to them.
It will.
Other than those guys that played at South Florida, Jason, a year ago.
Yeah, we were just talking about Andy. I think you got to go back to probably early Gene Chizik to find anything comparable at Auburn. I think it's been quite a while where because of the dorms and, like, you know, in the early, you know, early 2000s, late 1990s, you know, you're like, everybody was in Sewell Hall, you're all together. You could basically do checks, and you knew where people were, and you could go check, make sure they were still there. And you also had two or three practices a day. I think now, because it's one practice a day, you've done all this work. This is a way to make sure that guys are there, because if not, like, you don't have that much time with them. Now this can be time away from football, but you're still together.
Oh, absolutely. Now, I mean, now you have the rest of the day to focus. You got practice in the morning, which I'm glad practice is in the morning, selfishly, because it's not nearly as hot and humid. But I think it's better for the players, you know, to be able to recover during the day. But now, during the day, they're all there together, and they're able to go over what happened in practice, what they did, what they didn't do, and, you know, be able to retain that throughout the day. And then I'm sure, you know, have a recap or something, if you will, in the evening when they head back before the next day. So, no, I see that, you know, nothing but positives from having a camp like this.
Well, and part of that, and not just for fall camp, but moving forward, I guess Coach Golish talked to today that they look to open up the Pat Dye training table on the 17th, and Jimmy Rain and his family, and in memory some of his family, donated money for this. But that's a part of it, the nutrition aspect of it, and they won't have to leave the Waltos Wellness or the Waltos Performance Center at all. I mean, on these practice days, they bus in, they go to practice, they have an opportunity to dine there, and these will be, I don't know exactly how it's going to work, but I think it's going to be more than just a catered meal in. I think that the meals are going to be prepared there, and then there, you know, then there, I would imagine that there's individual meetings, team meetings, that they'll be, you know, with the team for the rest of that day. But I'll be fascinated to see how this goes for Auburn. But as we've mentioned, I mean, this is something that Alex Golish has done in all three previous years as a head coach down in Tampa. And it's something that he, among the many things that he brings with him in this first year as the head coach of the Auburn Tigers.
Talking with the voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, here on the Tuesday Drive. Andy, even though, you know, it was, you know, just a short time ago that we heard Alex Golish in Tampa, there is news that has happened since then, and it's not the kind of news that you're excited to hear about with the loss of Ty Buster for, it looks like, about a half season.
Yeah, and I don't know how long that's going to be. He just talked about that it's going to be a good period of time. But that was a guy that I think we all thought was going to get a shot to play and to start, perhaps, certainly to contend, to compete for a starting spot, I would think primarily at the guard spot for Auburn. But they really liked what they saw out of Ty during the spring practice, but that's not the case now. And so you know, next man up mentality. And so it's going to be very interesting to see not only who you know, emerges as the starters at guard for Auburn, but also without Buster out there for the Tigers, you know, who provides the depth now for Auburn at those guard spots. But, yeah, that was the one piece of injury news that kind of garnered the attention of all of us there, because that was a guy that we all thought that was going to have a chance at least to compete for a starting spot and certainly get in the rotation at one of those guard spots.
Yeah, Andy, when we're just thinking about that, because I was thinking about Ty Buster, and, like, we've seen him in practice for a little over a year, and we saw him a little bit in the game, but not much. But I started thinking about this, like the value and importance for you of preseason camp and these practices in the preseason, calling games.
Yeah.
When you think about, because we started thinking about this, offensively, guys that we expect to be in the playing rotation right now for this team, obviously we've seen Jeremiah Cobb a bunch.
You're talking about new faces this year?
We've seen Omar Mapson a little bit.
And you're going to see more.
If we see Bryce Kane, but we still haven't seen him very much, even if he were to play. It is brand new. How valuable is it for you? Because part of it is you have to know what somebody looks like even when you don't see a number.
Right.
And so for you, like body style, running style, how much of that is valuable for you in preseason as you get ready to call games on these guys?
It's vital. It's absolutely vital for me because, Jeremiah Cobb, Omar Mapson, Bryce Kane.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah, I mean.
That are back. Other than the kickers,
Jacoby Ward, but he didn't play.
Yeah, you got three offensive linemen that were all redshirted last year. Kale Ellis played some.
Right.
And your kickers, and obviously defense, you got a bunch of guys, but offensively,
much more.
Yeah, it is entirely brand new, basically.
Yes.
And
yeah, it is. And I mean, it's going to be at practices early. I've got that roster, and I'll be looking at that roster and looking for those distinguishing. You know, whether it's a haircut or whatever.
Yeah, running style is always a thing for me. Yeah. Body frame, all that stuff.
It's much more than the number and the name at this point. But you know what, guys? I mean, it was the same way for Auburn basketball last year.
Yes,
it was.
Oh, no kidding.
Same way this year.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right.
It's just a smaller number of players.
Yeah,
that they can deal with on a game in a game.
And it is. And a smaller number of players, and you get to see. You know, whether it's practice, but you see them without, there's no helmet, there's no shoulder pads. So you get a chance to see what somebody looks like in football. You can like, well, that guy just walked by me. I'm not really sure who that is. And then you go, oh, that's okay. I've kind of
Especially here in the fall, if you haven't seen him since spring.
Yes.
Or if you haven't seen him
some
much.
Guys have changed. Yes. I'm telling you, I walked by Omar Mapson today and I went, that guy looks like Saquon Barkley a little bit. Like he's huge. He's not 6 foot tall, but like. Yeah, it'll change.
He is put together.
It'll change some the way guys look on the field when we get out there tomorrow.
And Andy, that's a player right there in Omar Mapson. There's no question he has really, really impressed this staff.
So you heard both Alex Golish and Joel Gordon talk about Omar today, separately, independently of Omar. And certainly we know the name. We know the story here. In Auburn, because he's an Auburn high school kid and was would have been a senior at Auburn High a year ago, and really liked what we saw out of him in very small doses last year. And I don't think there's ever been a question about the young man's work ethic.
No.
And it continues this year, and he's bigger and he is stronger. You say the same thing about Jeremiah Cobb, according to Joel Gordon today. That Jeremiah has started to transform, you know. And this is a guy that really had a breakout season for Auburn a year ago and almost 1,000 yards in rushing and 175 carries for Auburn. But they're not the only ones that I think, according to these coaches, and it's not only offense but defense as well, that have helped, that have transformed themselves from spring ball to summer and now into the fall camp. I mean, they've worked hard on their bodies. They've worked hard on their conditioning. They've worked hard on their strength and conditioning. And now we'll see how that pays off with this Auburn team.
Oh, yes. And something that, when DJ Durkin was there, I wanted to get his thoughts. You have to be careful. You have to remember DJ's been around and has taken questions from the media for quite a while. You need to ask him specifically about players to get him to mention names. But defensively, Andy, this is a sophomore studded, defensive group. I mean, so many players got valuable and significant experience last year as true freshmen who could step up and really help make this defense special this year.
That's a good question you asked today, Bill, about that sophomore class. And it's, good or bad. I mean, those freshmen played a lot of minutes for Auburn a year ago. And I think by the end of the season, they were paying dividends for Auburn. And now let's see how they do it in their second year at Auburn. Now, it's the second year under the same defensive coordinator.
Right.
And for those guys at linebacker, it could be a second year for those guys that played for DJ at linebacker. But for the rest of that crew, it's not necessarily a new philosophy because it's the same DC, but it may be a different position coach that these guys have. But you look at that back seven for Auburn, or then eight if you include the star, that's where Auburn has its experience on defense. It's also, I think, where Auburn has its proven depth on defense. The question to me remains up front. I like the guys that Auburn has up front, but for the most part, in an Auburn uniform, they are unproven at this point. But you know what? We could say that about several of those defensive linemen from Auburn for Auburn a year ago.
Yeah, and one
thing. I thought by the end of the year, that group was among Auburn's strengths.
I agree.
Part of it was the depth that Auburn had. Now, Auburn has those numbers this year on the defensive line. How does that transform as the season begins and you get Baylor in a new offense for Baylor and a new quarterback for Baylor and a new tailback for Baylor, for that matter, because their tailback from a year ago is now playing for Auburn. There's some interesting aspects of this game coming up because DJ Lagway for Baylor and Byron Brown for Auburn played each other a year ago when Byron Brown was at USF and Lagway was at Florida. And Bryson Washington, of course, was the tailback for Baylor a year ago as we get ready for this game. So there's some interesting wrinkles as we get ready for that. But I think this fall camp is absolutely vital for Vontrell up front. And how does he handle a lot of new faces for this Auburn defense up front? Because you lost some quality players for Auburn a year ago, including a first-round draft pick, by the way. But, you know, guys, some that got some playing time a year ago, others didn't get a lot of playing time or they transferred in, like a Cody Ziegler, who was, I thought, one of the cool stories for this team in the spring. Does that continue now, guys? Does Cody Ziegler continue to make his mark at defensive tackle for the Tigers now in fall ball? Now that you get into where a month away from the start of this season. So how does a guy like Cody Ziegler, who played at Arkansas State, played at West Alabama, how does he take that? Does he take that step now for Auburn as the Tigers get ready for the opener against Baylor?
Well, Vontrell has done an outstanding job, has proven to be a great choice there at defensive line. So that is a sort of a steadying thing. And the guys with the most experience at Auburn are Dallas Walker, it was really nice that he got an extra year. And then you've got three of those sophomores that we were talking about with Darian Smith and
Jordan Crawford, Malik Altry.
Right. Yep. So they understand and have been in that system, and all three of those guys can, you know, I think can take big steps forward.
And you know, another guy is Chris Murray. You know, how does he come back for Auburn? What does he do at one of the rush ends
that,
for Auburn?
That position to me is as up in the air. That corner to me are the two positions maybe on this team, even more so than offensive line. We know kind of who the guys are going to be on offensive line, just how does it sort itself out. I'm not sure what happens at edge and defensive end. I really don't know.
I've got a pretty hard to erase pencil set on the offensive line. You're right.
Where does it sort itself out?
On the outside, on the defensive line, just trying to figure who's where there in the secondary.
Nate Johnson was really productive at App State. Didn't get to play a whole lot at Missouri, but he looks like Keldrick Falk. Deshaun Womack is physical, has all the things you want to do. Can he become a guy? You know, it's time for him to become a guy. Can he do it? Jarrett Smith is a freak, but is he ready to? Mm-hmm. I mean, he wasn't an early high school graduate, but he was really young. He's just over 18 years old, too. Can he become a guy that's ready to step up and do it? You got Chris Murray that's played some. And then you have J.J. Falk. You got some pieces back there, too. I like the group. It's just a matter of which one of those guys steps up and says, "Hey, I'm gonna be a playmaker."
Yeah, that's what this fall camp is all about. This preseason camp is about finding out the guys that are ready to help you, you know, as you get ready for Baylor. Andy, can you stick with us? We need to get to a bottom of the hour break.
Happy to, Bill.
Outstanding. We will be back with more with the voice of the Tigers. Stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
Churn up some more yardage on The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Jason Caldwell here in the studio, and we're talking with the voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, on the Drive Hotline. Well, Andy, as football practice about to get started today, the basketball team is heading for Greece. It's a shame you got football practice here. I'm sure you'd be along for the trip. Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be great. It'd be fabulous. I've always wanted to go to Greece.
Me too.
But, they leave the day before Auburn football starts practice. So, and I'm glad this team gets an opportunity to witness this and to experience this together. I mean, Stephen Pearl's talked about how close this ball club is. The time that they've been able to be together this summer, and now that they get an opportunity to play somebody else at this point, a couple games that they'll get, and an opportunity to see a part of the world that I would imagine for many on this trip, including coaches, they've never seen before. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy for this group. One, just to experience this part of the world. Two, to get to practice more together and to play. And maybe to answer some questions for this Auburn basketball team. But hopefully it's safe travels. Prayerfully it's safe travels for this team, and hopefully it is a time together that pays dividends throughout this entire season for Auburn basketball.
Oh, I mean, this could be a, you know, once in a lifetime experience for these guys, and you know, we were talking about the benefits and how, you know, how it looks like it's nothing but beneficial for football to have a camp like this, to be able to go as a group, as a team. And even though Stephen has talked about how close they are, this is an opportunity to really, you know, tighten that bond even more, because they may be the only people that understand each other, you know, in some cases.
I think it's nothing but a positive for this ball club. Just listen, from a cultural standpoint, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, I mean, we said the same thing when a couple years ago that team went to Israel.
Yes.
And how many of those guys would ever get that opportunity again or had before to see that part of the world? And you can say the same thing about this team heading to Greece at this point. And just the history that's involved in this area. I've never been. My wife has been. She tells me grand stories of the time that she spent in Greece and just the history that goes with that. But, it's just an opportunity to travel together and to be together and to experience these things together. And yes, play another team, a couple games mm-hmm. against another team. And you'll learn a lot about your ball club when you play in a setting like this one.
Yeah.
I think we'll all learn a little bit more about this ball club in the next in the next week or so.
I agree. Yeah, even if you're not playing basketball, if you just said, look, we're going over here on a trip and we're going to all be together, just much like we're talking about with the camp setting for football, it'd be beneficial if you weren't playing at all. But because you get to play another team, this is the first time that this coach and staff gets to look at playing rotations. Because when you can look at it a little bit, but when you're doing it either against another team that you're like, well, that guy's probably in this rotation if I'm doing this, or you're doing it against your scout team walk-on guys, you actually get a chance to go run things and rotate guys in and mix and match. That's gonna be really beneficial for everybody involved.
And that will continue, JC, with those exhibition games that Auburn will be playing, including that game against Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
In Birmingham in mid-October. And so, I mean, there's a lot to be learned about this ball club this season. I like the core that comes back in Kevin Overton and Tahad Pettiford, and Auburn needs both of those young men to be leaders. And I think they will be. I think they understand that role and how important it is not only to play well, but to be a leader on and off the floor for this Auburn team. And now we get, you know, we get an opportunity, hopefully, to see the strength and the height that Auburn has that it did not have a year ago. I mean, think about that. When Auburn went to the NIT a year ago, Philip Jovich was your big.
Right. He'd be about the fifth tallest guy on this team.
Right. But he was the big for that Auburn ball club. Auburn looks dramatically different this year. And I'll never forget, we spent, you know, we were in Indianapolis for quite some time to play that NIT semifinal against Illinois State at Hinkle Fieldhouse. And I'm so glad that I got an opportunity to call a game in one of those historic venues. And then to get ready for that championship game against Tulsa. But guys, when it wasn't game plan time, they were already working on this year's roster.
Yeah.
And there were Zoom calls with players, families, agents, all of that going on in the team room as they were also, oh, by the way, getting ready for Illinois State and Tulsa. And that was a cool thing to watch that group work because Auburn's GM, Brian Clomen, was on that trip. It was my first opportunity to meet Auburn's general manager for basketball. But it was fascinating to watch that group multitask because it was not just those two games against Illinois State and Tulsa. It was also, and I, you know what, this probably never stops, but they were recruiting, and they were recruiting hard and heavy out of the transfer portal getting ready for this year's ball club.
Yeah, and I think they did an excellent job of targeting and being able to go ahead and fill those spots. And you talked about it. I mean, this is a completely different looking team because they have so much more height. Length is what is the term everybody likes to use these days. But
right.
But they also, Andy, they have more shooters than they did a year ago.
No question. And not only shooters, but size at shooters.
You know, yes.
They've got some guys that are 6'8". That may be the best three-point shooter that they have with this ball club. So, yeah, this is a whole different team. I mean, you return Pettiford and you return Overton, and those are two. I mean, think about their impact to Auburn to make that NIT run a year ago. I mean, think about just late in that Tulsa game, what those two guys did to get Auburn, just to get Auburn into overtime of that game. So, yeah, they're incredibly important. And Auburn's trip to the NIT championship, I think, in at least in great measure, was a big reason that KO and Tahad came back for Auburn.
Yeah.
I think it was also beneficial for the head coach to coach and to coach that ball club. And a lot of those guys have decided to move on, and he knew that at the time. But But you're right, Bill. I mean, this is a totally different looking ball club. Auburn didn't have rim protection a year ago. It really didn't. Even with Keyshawn Murphy back there. But they have some rim protection now with this ball club. And I think that allows them to play defense a little bit differently than they did a year ago. And, again, we'll find out a little bit about this ball club and the two games that they play in Greece in the next week or so. And then when they come back and get back into the practice gym and get ready for that exhibition season in mid-October.
Oh, yeah, no question. Andy, always great to have a little time to spend with you as we're approaching the start of fall classes. And obviously, football practice getting started. That's not the only thing. Let us know what all is going on as far as, you know, the Talking Tigers and yeah, any other updates we have from the Auburn Sports Network.
Talking Tigers podcast this week features one of Auburn's great closers in Auburn history, Stephen Register, who came to Auburn from Columbus, a two-way player, mm-hmm, a pitcher and a shortstop coming out of high school. By the time his first fall practice had ended, that he was going to be a pitcher and Auburn's closer, started a little bit for Auburn.
Yep.
Played with the Colorado Rockies and the Philadelphia Phillies in the major leagues. And then he and his wife, Beth, came back to Auburn to live and to own a business. And for the last 3 years, he has battled stage 4 liver cancer that required a liver transplant from a young lady that was in Stephen's high school class at Columbus High School. And that story is what Stephen talks very candidly about in the Talking Tigers podcast. Next week, one of Auburn's all-time great golfers, as a matter of fact, until Jackson Coivin came along, he was Auburn's all-time winningest golfer. And that's Jimmy Green, who's now the head pro out at the AU club, where Auburn Golf, of course, calls home, both the Auburn men and the women. And Jimmy talks about his time at Auburn. I can't wait for you to hear the story he tells about Coach Dye calling him one night after a tournament where Auburn did not play well, and the impact that that had on Jimmy Green and does to this very day. And then another podcast that we're, matter of fact, we're going to be recording this week is with Dr. Bobby Woodard, who's Auburn's Dean of Students. Mm-hmm. And his story at Auburn, of course, following great Dean Foy, and the work that they do at the Student Center at Auburn. So those are the next three Talking Tigers podcasts. We're working on the schedule at this time. And don't forget, we've got Tiger Talk coming up on our first Tiger Talk this year. And during football season, our Tiger Talks will be on Wednesday night. And our first Tiger Talk will be Wednesday, August 26th. It will feature Alex Gowish, Nick Kleinert, and Butch Thompson on that show. All three are confirmed to be on with us that evening on the 26th. And then starting the week of that game against Baylor, we'll be back at at Baumhire's Victory Grill for Tiger Talk throughout the season. So really looking forward to that. And then we'll with everyone else, we'll be in Atlanta for that game against Baylor. Be my first time to be in the broadcast booth at the Mercedes-Benz stadium. So I'm looking forward to that and just everything that goes with the start of Auburn football. Don't forget that Auburn soccer is the first team
right
that competes. As a matter of fact, tomorrow they have an exhibition match, a friendly, so to speak, at Georgia at 4:30 tomorrow afternoon. Then they're home against Georgia Southern Saturday at 5 at the Auburn Soccer Complex. Admission is free there. That'll be an exhibition match, and then they'll open next season or next week against Clemson. And we've already started our weekly interviews with James Armstrong, Auburn's soccer coach, on This Week in Auburn Soccer. So gearing up, gentlemen. Looking forward to it.
No question about it. That is great. Andy, again, we really appreciate it. Great to have you spend some time with us, and looking forward to doing it again next week.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great week. Andy. War Eagle.
Voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, joining us, and he will each Tuesday throughout the athletic season. So you know, keep that on your calendar. You definitely want to check it out when Andy joins us. If you missed any of it, you can check out our podcasts, which are available shortly after the drive wraps up at 6 o'clock each day. We'll get to our final break of hour number one. Open up the phone lines. Come on in and join us. 334-321-1390. That'll get you through here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive continues. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final minute or so of hour number one. Again, our thanks to Andy Burcham joining us here for the last couple of segments. Jason Caldwell and Bill with you for another hour here on this Tuesday. Love for you to join in. If you've got any, you know, any thoughts or any things you want to know about, we'll start looking tomorrow morning. Now, it'll be shorts for the first couple of days. Mm-hmm. Saturday, though, Auburn's going to go ahead and be able to go into pads on Saturday.
Yeah, so we have three viewing windows. So Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday. Pretty good for a first week.
No kidding.
So we get a chance to see these guys pretty good early. Don't know how much we'll get, but, I mean, even if it's 20, 25 minutes of viewing window early on, especially in camp, it's just a matter of seeing guys physically, seeing what mm-hmm. they look like. And then once they put the pads on, then they'll actually start to get something going.
All right, we're halfway done here on the Tuesday Drive. Wide open in hour number two. Love for you to join us, so come on in.
Capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Tuesday Drive. Hope everybody doing well on this, typical August afternoon. It's maybe not as hot as some other afternoons, but it's a humid one, so welcome in. Nice to know the AC is working here. I may have a problem at the house, but The AC is working here in the station.
Yeah, no, that's not a. I dealt with it about this time last year. That is not a great feeling.
Well, you know, this is when it's taxed.
Yes,
you know, I mean, you run them a little bit more, and it's a little bit harder the hotter and more humid it is outside. So, hopefully everything will be all right. I may be sleeping in the pool. Who knows? Bill and Jason Caldwell with you here in hour number two. Jason, of course, from Auburn 24/7. Brandon is at the controls. Jason, before we get going, just talk a little bit about everything that folks will find there at Auburn 24/7.
Yep. Yeah. Come check us out right now, Auburn 24/7. I think last time I looked, we had 11 different content pieces up today, including videos of everything we had today going on. You can find all that.
Just wait.
Yeah, our thoughts, everything. And yeah, but it's just getting started. You know, you can check out our YouTube page as well and subscribe there at Auburn 24/7 on YouTube and get videos, our thoughts, our short YouTube clips, all those things.
You guys just did a depth chart, your preseason depth chart.
We did a I don't know, 50-minute or so breakdown of what we think it might look like. And so you can find all that there. But – listen, a whole lot going on. If you've never subscribed before, right now you can get 60% off.
Wow.
So it's like $5 a month.
Man.
And we're going to have stuff every day. And myself and Nathan King, Christian Clemente, will kind of chime in too from time to time. But we're going to have, and every day we have a viewing window, we're going to have a 5-6 minute mm-hmm. thoughts on what we saw video that we'll put up as well. And then we'll have photos, videos, stories, because we're going to get a chance to talk to a bunch of folks here in the next few weeks as well. So get you primed up for the season. So, again, 60% off right now if you never subscribed to us at Auburn 24/7.
And there are benefits, too. I mean,
yeah, you get Paramount Plus.
How about that?
That's hard to beat, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you just go out if you just subscribe to Paramount Plus, that's like getting a free subscription.
You're not getting that for $5 a month.
No, you're not. It's like $139 a year.
Correct. And so you're talking about just subscribing to our site gets you more in the way of that than you already get.
Yep.
So come join us. Like I said, you get the benefits of Paramount Plus while also getting the benefits of getting to read a whole lot of stuff.
If you're an Auburn fan, absolutely. And yes, as you said, we're going to have plenty of opportunities starting tomorrow morning. And today, we talked with Alex Golish and both his coordinators, Joel Gordon and DJ Durkin. Tomorrow we will we'll get a viewing window at 9 o'clock, and then we will have players following practice. So there will be that, and then Thursday they're going to practice. They're practicing, at least here early on, quite a bit. It's like 4 days and a day off. Coach Durkin was saying 4 days and a day off, 4 days and a day off, two yep. days and a day off, and then wrapping things up before actually classes get started. While they are at camp with the team, staying out at Grand National and busing in to spend the day on campus and then going back to Grand National each evening.
Yeah, no, a busy time for them. It's, you know, and I wrote a little bit about this week, but it's very different when people think about camp, you know, and when I started this job, and Bill, we've seen it before, but like it used to be two or three practices a day. Like, and I told somebody the other day that they played high school football. I said, listen, they don't run sprints after practice unless they're mad at a group.
That's right. Like, unless there's something that they didn't do.
This is not get in shape time.
No, you better be in shape. You've had spring and summer to get in shape,
and you never left.
That's
like,
right.
You're here year round. This is not get in shape time for these guys. They don't run. They don't run sprints. They're running during practice, but they're practicing football, and then they do their workouts, all those things in between. It never stops. But yeah, it's not. Hey, we're using the first two. I mean,
you call this reporting day, and everybody's been here. I mean, it used to be, and we talked about it last week. I mean, there were guys that hadn't been here that were showing up, and we didn't know what they looked like, and would they come in shape, and the coaches didn't know, and had they done their off-season workouts, did they learn their playbook? They've all been here. These guys have been together as a group and in position groups and with their assistant coaches. So this is, as Alex Golish said, you know, it's like he feels like it's Christmas morning. I mean, he's excited because they get to practice football. This is football practice time. It's not training camp. It is preseason camp.
Yes, it is. It is. You know, you're excited. Like it is the beginning of the season. In terms of, like, you're not, like I said, trying to get in shape. You're not doing anything. This is football. It's football 101. They've already installed on offense and defense. All those things are in. Now, you got to go run it, and you got to do it against the defense. You got to do it in when you're tired and when you're hot and you're wearing pads, all those things. But, look, the benefits of bringing in a coach, an offensive coordinator, an offensive line coach, a wide receiver coach, quarterback, center, offensive lineman, wide receivers, running back, it does not feel like you're starting from square one.
Right.
It feels like you're starting the middle of year one. Now, you got a bunch of other pieces to put together, but you're not just going, you're not restarting from scratch. You're not doing that. Even though we mentioned we haven't seen these guys play, they have.
Mm-hmm.
They've seen a bunch of these guys play. So that puts you in a much better position than you would have been when you're normally taking over a program.
Yes. So it'll get started. It'll get started tomorrow, and really looking forward to that. I mean, there are a few positions. We mentioned a couple in hour number one. The defensive line, outside, you know, rush in and defensive end, and the secondary, especially corner, where there are a lot of guys battling. You have an idea who probably is may be out there first, but there are a lot of guys that are going to be battling, trying to show that they can be counted on come September 5th.
Yeah, no, it, that's where you are. Everywhere you got people that you know, and then you got people that are like, oh, you got to go earn it. Can you go earn the right to get on the field and be in the playing rotation early on? And you've heard a lot about Andre Jordan this summer at corner. Mm-hmm. He's like, okay, you got him returning, and then you got, you know, a guy that's been there and played and had some production last year at corner for this team. But after that, it's like, you know, you got transfers that haven't played a bunch, played a little bit, have a year of experience, a few starts under their belt. You know, like all those things when you talk about behind Jordan and Rayshon Pleasant, you go, it's potential, but not a lot of experience.
Yep. Blake Woodby is has played the most here. But
yeah, yeah. Shamar Arnaud started 4 games at Florida State. Kamari Todd started at Chattanooga.
Right.
Like, you got some guys that have played some. Gavin Jenkins, really talented. They've talked a lot about him. So, you look, there's a lot of pieces out there. Just a matter of, okay, listen, a discussion myself and Nathan King have been having for a while, Bill, is Champ Anthony well enough to play corner?
Yeah. Yeah, and it was interesting. Alex Golish was asked about was it Alex? No, it was DJ. DJ Durkin.
He didn't pinpoint anything down.
No. DJ just talked about how great he is in the room and how he adds so much to the room and makes it better, but he wouldn't really say, you know, if they're thinking he's more of a safety nickel corner.
If he could play corner, it would be a game changer for this defense because you feel like it's safety.
Man, there's so many other options.
You got a bunch of guys where you think about Caleb Harris and Sylvester and, you know, Newboy Fagans, Eric Winters. And you think about even beyond that, I mean,
Jacoby Matthews.
Jacoby Matthews had a really good spring. You haven't mentioned, you have a USF transfer that played a lot for them. You're talking about 6 deep. And Champ, can you be a nickel? Well, Newboy can play nickel, and Blake Woodby can play nickel. But Champ played really well at corner in that just brief window of time we got a chance to see him play it. Can he be a guy that can play corner? Because if he did, you start talking about how can you get your best players on the field?
Mm-hmm.
That's what and no matter where it is, it's kind of like the old NFL draft rule where these teams that are drafting at the bottom of the first round are going,
they'll just take the best available.
I don't care who it is. We're taking the best player we can find. If you can get in a spot where you can go, let's just find a way to get our best players on the field, and versatility on defense is a key to that, and offensive line too.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the things that we were talking about when. And in case you weren't with us in hour number one, I hadn't heard. I mean, the worst news of the day was that Ty Buster is out for an extended period of time, maybe the first half of the season, and he's a guy. Speaking of versatility. Jason, I mean, we'd seen him at tackle look like an undersized tackle, but he performed well there and looks more like a guard, but he could work at either of those two spots. And, you know, when you get into the offensive line, sure, you want to know your starting five and you want them to be cohesive, but then you also need to know who's 6, who's 7, and who's 8. And you'd like to be able to, if one of the first five goes out, put number 6 in and be able to move them around so you still have the next best 5 in.
Yeah, what you like to be able to do is have a guy that you can plug into place where you don't have to move everybody.
Right.
That's where a guy like Ty Buster is valuable because you said, look, you could have played either tackle or guard and you could have plugged a guy in like that. Do you have a guy that can be that? He might not be one of your 5,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we were talking about earlier, maybe a Jack Lair or Jacob Strand, who have played both tackle and guard, can be your 6.
Right.
Maybe not as a starter. Maybe like, if we got to start and you got to build a week, maybe you play a young guy. But in a game, and this guy's played, he's not going to be overwhelmed, he knows what to do, can you find those types of guys too to go, we need a guy to get us out of this game versus, okay, now we got a week to prepare a starter. It might be a different guy. So, like, those are all things you have to look at, and that's all that will play out here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, we've talked about it. I mean, I think everybody's going to be, you know, watching the offensive line. I mean, I don't know how I'm going to be able to watch both at the same time because they're usually not right next to each other.
Yeah.
I want to watch the offensive line. I want to watch the receivers going against the secondary because it's still, I mean – I sort of feel like Chaz Nimrod's a guy that's stepped up and they feel like is sort of the leader right now of the receivers. He's really experienced. I mean, he was off to a really good start last year at USF before he got hurt. But, I mean, I want to see how those guys are doing because they're looking for at least 6 and probably 7 or 8 receivers, and there are plenty of guys to be working against there in the secondary.
Yeah, you're right. I think – You got, if you're Auburn, you probably go into this. You know, Cody Burns knows Chaz Nimrod. He knows Jeremiah Coger.
Yeah, he's, yeah.
He knows Keyshawn Singleton. He's seen those guys produce. Mm-hmm. He knows what they are. Has a pretty good idea of a couple other guys that came
Christian
from South
Neptune's another guy.
Correct. And you know, you, there's a couple of those guys that came and Corey Pettigrew, too. I mean, you got
– right.
But then you go, you got young guys that'll have a chance to come out and jump into the mix. I thought really interesting – I had a chance to kind of sit down a little bit with Champ Anthony in Tampa. And he talked about
Champ was very
Sam Turner,
very upfront. Yeah,
Sam Turner.
And there's a guy we you know
forget about.
Last fall, it was like wow,
he was the freshman that everybody's waiting on to go
yes.
play. Didn't get his shot early, got injured during the season, ended up taking the redshirt year. But he was a guy early on that we thought, okay, he's going to be the fourth guy. We're like you figured you knew who the top three were. We thought, okay, Sam Turner's going to be the fourth guy. He was really good in the spring. Really good in the preseason, and it never materialized for him. And now Champ's like, look, this guy's been really good. He's physical. Boy,
he's not a little guy.
Listen, we know Cody Burns, and we know what this offense wants to be about.
Mm-hmm.
We heard it talking about Larry Porter today, and like, but you better protect a quarterback as a running back if you want to play.
You better block downfield.
If you want to play for Cody and you want to play in this system, you better get out there and get physical in the run game blocking.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Turner was that last year already, and now you go another year more physical for him. I think that's a guy that has been slept on some that may be a surprise in this group. Now, you got a freshman. You got DeShawn Spencer and –
Williams and Bryce Kane.
And you know, there's pieces that you can fit together. But obviously, you look at Auburn and you go, listen, if you want to be what you think you can be, then you need Chaz Nimrod to stay healthy. And you got to have Singleton and Coger be just those solid, big, physical guys that they've been. And then can you find somebody to go, okay, different. I think same thing at tight end. You go like, can Jonathan Echols be who you hope he can be instead of
– can Jake Johnson be healthy? If Jake Johnson's healthy,
he is 100% as solid as it gets, and that's okay. You can be solid at tight end and be really good.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Echols can be the explosive
special
guy. But if Jake Johnson is solid, where you go, man, that guy, you look up and you go, what did he do? He had three catches for 42 yards and a touchdown all day long. I'll take that all day.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting when Joel Gordon talking about, getting one, two, or three of them on the field at a time. I mean, you could tell. I mean, when Alex Golish was in Tampa, he's pretty excited about that tight end room if they're healthy. And Joel Gordon sounded the same.
Yeah, and then Arliss Wardingham's a guy that did at Florida and just hasn't been healthy, wasn't healthy really in the spring. Feel like he's closer to being that guy now. He gives you another dimension too. I think he could be more of an H-back kind of guy that moves around some. That's the thing. They've done a great job of giving themselves options across the board on this team. Offensive line, defensive line, every position, you have options. You don't feel like you're short anywhere.
No, and that's something I think is remarkable considering the time frame they had to do it in. And you look back over the last few years when Auburn had talent, but there were still rooms where you went, man, they're short.
They're short. The offensive line was one of them that was kind of always there.
Yep.
But there were other spots too. You were like, man, if you lose one or two guys, there's nobody there.
Right.
You think about linebacker and you go, okay, you start going, well, man, Xavier Atkins is good. And you go like, well, Bryce Diaz and Elijah Melendez. You get DeMarcus Riddick back, who I ran in today, and he's like, yeah, I feel good. You know, I said, look, I said it kind of in jest, but he knows what I'm saying. Like, I said, look, they haven't seen you yet. Like, Auburn fans have not seen DeMarcus Riddick.
No, they haven't
yet.
Seen
he's
a healthy
been, he's
DeMarcus
been hurt the
Riddick.
Whole time.
He played banged up as a freshman needing surgery and then tried to play through it without surgery
last year. Yeah, they haven't. And like, if that guy can be who I know he's capable
and
of being.
How did DJ describe him today? He said something.
Yeah,
that
like elite.
The way he said it, yes, it was like he's a he can be or is an elite defender.
Let me see if I can find it where he said. But
because there's no question, people have almost forgotten him because he was hurt and didn't make a big impact last year.
Yeah, no, I think there's some really interesting. He's an elite player and ability to play this game for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he can play any of the positions.
Inside, outside,
can
and rush.
Come rush the passer.
Yep.
But you think about those guys, and you go like, okay, well, what's after them? I'm like, look, there's some young guys that they feel like can be the next guys there. You bring in a transfer from Hampton who I heard some really good things about in the spring. He said, look, he can be a special teams guy, big physical guy, but you got a guy like Adam Balogun Ali, Shadrick Tootle, Shadarius Tootle, excuse me, that like there's other pieces that look the part there as well. And so, yeah, I think that's probably the thing that maybe has slipped by more than anything is when you think about just from a numbers standpoint, this this roster, and hey, have they done any recruiting in this class? Look, you got quarterback, two running backs, wide receivers, tight end, offensive line, defensive line. Like they are recruiting teams, and that's a way to avoid getting caught short.
Right.
And listen, you might not have an All-American waiting to play the next guy, but if you got two guys you feel like are pretty good and they're having to compete, that's a pretty good starting point.
No doubt about it. All right, Jason and I with you until 6. Hey, we'd love to hear from you. I'm sure folks, you know, have some thoughts or questions or things that they'd like to know about as we head into fall camp. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise, though, give us a call on the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390. We're right back here on the Tuesday Drive.
This is Auburn baseball coach Butch Thompson, and you're listening to The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
He better be. Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Jason Caldwell here, and yeah, we're wide open. Love to hear from you. I was on the way in, obviously, listening to Tripp and Christian joined him a little bit from San Francisco here on the day where we got a chance to talk to Alex Golish and the two coordinators. But they were talking a little bit about a story, and again, look, thank goodness practice is about to get started everywhere.
Absolutely.
Because there are lists and, you know.
Maybe we'll actually start playing games here in a month. So.
But this one was funny. I mean, I heard him talking about a little bit about it. ESPN, Bill Conley of ESPN writes an article today on his 40 most important college football players for 2026. Now, he did broke it into different categories. He started off with new likely quarterbacks for potential contenders. Number one, he has Keelan Russell, saying that that he needs to be the guy for Alabama to have a chance.
Okay. I mean, that's great. I'm glad he said that. But, like, I mean, how much has he seen him?
I wonder how much he's seen quite a few of these guys.
I would say they need to run the football.
Yes.
I mean,
absolutely do, because they sure couldn't last year.
Yeah, I mean, like, to me, that's where I would start with that. I mean, yeah, if you start talking about most important guys, wouldn't you say the replacement guy that's having to go after Fernando Mendoza at Indiana would be the number one guy?
That is his number two.
Yeah, I mean, that's number one.
Number
I mean, there's
two.
No question about it. Like, that guy, you just got to replace a guy who went undefeated, won a Heisman Trophy at Indiana, and now they just got back a fifth-year defensive tackle. Like, their defense is going to be stacked.
Yeah, I mean, and we have something we haven't talked about. I mean, that happened over the weekend. Alex Golish was even asked about that today. I think BMAT asked him about the possibility of adding someone, because now, look, I guess it hadn't happened last week, but we talked a little bit about it regarding basketball, saying, look, football's coming.
Yeah.
New football was coming. How could the NCAA not see this coming? Why didn't they just go ahead when they said 5 for 5 is good, that anybody who had a year left could still be eligible?
The problem is, how far do you go back?
You have to say anybody who would be heading into their fifth year.
Well, but that's what I'm saying, though. When you do that, then there's going to be somebody that's going to go, well, hey, I didn't get my year.
And, well, that doesn't matter.
This one doesn't either. This one doesn't either. Their five was up either. I mean, it was already done.
Well, their five
the school
may not
was
be
over.
Up. Their four was done.
Well,
I understand why they did it.
I know, but I'm saying,
but
like,
they had to know
it's
that
a never-ending thing, though. You can't, like, you do this and somebody's going to sue you. You do this, somebody's going to sue you. It's never going to end. I'm seeing this Save College Sports Act. It's not going to end. I don't care what they do.
No, you're
it's
right.
It's not going to end.
Well, there's a lot of stuff in the wording now, the Protect College Sports Act, that's that's going to hold
up. But this one, like, you look and go, like, yeah, is there a possibility that Auburn could do it? I, I guess there is, but it looks like right now it has
it's
to be.
It's a narrow window, and as Coach Golish said, I mean, this is going to affect a small. It's not the number that people think, because it's not just anybody could go anywhere.
Yeah, he said the recent change has, which is what it looks like right now, is that you can only return to the team you left from.
Unless.
You're like, well, a graduate. And I think that's it. I think you're right. But you had to be in the transfer portal before. I think you had to be in the transfer portal, period.
Yes, I do.
And so.
So if you weren't in the transfer portal, if you were a player who thought, all right,
I'm done,
my career's about over, that's it, and finished, then the only option you would have would be to come back to the school where you were.
That you were, yeah, before. So, yeah, there's not a whole lot of guys out there. Potential for a USF defensive lineman to be added, a guy that they were looking at and hoping to get a fifth-year
initially. Yeah, hoping to get an extra year of eligibility.
So that might be something there, but no, you look and go, look, back to our thought, like the most important guys on teams.
Well, let me give you a couple of the. All right, I mean, I'm not shocked. I mean, some of the other names on here are. I don't wonder if he means most important or the some that'll be most watched, because he's got Will Hammond at Texas Tech, Arch Manning, Dante Moore. John Mateer and Marcel Reed.
Those so basically, are, this is a quarterback list then.
That yeah,
like this.
He gets into some others because his next thing is quarter. How about this next? His next category is quarterbacks with spoiler and contender potential, and in it he has whoever is the starter at the University of Tennessee, saying
okay.
Either Faison Brandon or George McIntyre could be. A spoiler or potential contender, and Aaron Fidel. Those are the guys he has there.
Florida?
Yes.
Yeah, Florida's a potential contender.
Well, that's what he says. Potential.
Yeah.
Potential contender or spoiler.
Okay.
But
that's the thing. You can write this.
Yeah.
And everybody. You can put everybody on the list because nobody knows what. I went back and saw this because I was like, I feel best about Georgia and Texas. Texas A&M's right there with them.
Right.
I feel best about those
teams. I
feel
pretty good about Oklahoma.
They all got quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Go back and look. Just think about Oklahoma. I mean, they won a bunch of games that probably had no business winning. Now, he was hurt a little bit. Think about Texas. Texas had to win
Texas
in overtime.
Close. Yeah, no
in
kidding.
Overtime
no kidding.
In Mississippi State and had to hold
Should
on to win at Kentucky.
One. Yes.
Lost at Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, well, they added some pieces. Okay. That's fine. Like, are they ready to be that? I don't know they are. I don't know if they're good enough up front. Everybody has questions. I think, to me, Georgia has the fewest questions, but they're not dominant.
No,
they're
good. It's not like Georgia and Alabama were, a decade
ago. They've got some guys back, and they got some pieces in place, but those pieces weren't overwhelming last year. They were good. Oklahoma, was good. I don't know if they're good enough outside at wide receiver in some spots. You're like, there's questions everywhere in this league. To put that list together, you go, well, this guy and this guy. Yeah, you may be right. But you have there's no way of knowing that.
Oh, absolutely
and
not.
It's
I mean, this
total
is just filler,
blind guesses.
This is just fluff
because,
stuff.
Because somebody asked me last night recently, like Auburn being 12th, or what is that what they were?
I
said, I don't have a problem with that because I think between 5 and 14, you can throw them all in a hat.
I think it's better. I think
it's fine.
I mean, I like this position. I like Auburn sort of. I mean, they're way under the radar.
Yeah,
it
correct.
Seems like from just about everybody. And, I mean, to not even I've not seen Byron Brown's name mentioned anywhere.
No.
It's
so,
like you would think that he threw for 300 yards last year.
That's the
and D3.
And yeah, I'm fine with it, but I'm like, hey, if I'm outside of Auburn, though, and I've watched the team have 5 straight seasons of losing, I would like I'd be hard for me to put them up higher.
It would, but it's hard for me to ignore what a couple of the guys. I mean,
I agree.
Byram's numbers.
I agree, and you go like, but I think it's so much unknown for everybody. That's just what the world we live in now.
But I think it's good. I think it's a little good motivation, little burr
absolutely.
Under the
no
saddle.
Question about it.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Got plenty of time for you to join us in the final half hour of the Tuesday Drive.
You're
live on The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Jason Caldwell from Auburn 247 here in the studio. Brandon is at the controls as we are on the eve of Auburn's first day of football practice. Tigers are out at Grand National now and we'll be busing in for practice first thing tomorrow morning, and we'll be out there checking out practice. Let's head to the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. And Anthony gets us started. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Well, we're getting closer and closer. I mean, you know, they're going to go ahead and kick practice off tomorrow. But, you know, this sounds like a modern-day junction, you know, going out there and being isolated and from everybody and where they can focus and just be football and brotherhood or whatnot. So I kind of like that. I think it's needed, probably long overdue, to be honest with you. But I tell you, everybody's probably more excited about that than anything else because, you know, when you get isolated from people and get quiet and focused on things, some improvement and growth and things happen.
No question. I mean, you look at it, that's part of it, I think, is to go team building, team bonding, make guys focus only on football, and that's what Alex Golder said today. Look, that's what we want to do.
Yeah, he was just saying that's what Alex Goldish was saying, you know, that they wanted to do is team bonding and team building and get away from everything else. I thought it was cool. He said they were going to take up the car keys when everybody got there for practice, got there at the complex today, and they wouldn't get them back for 2 weeks.
You know, you think in the future that maybe some funds might be raised and build a complex, maybe somewhere outside of Auburn, especially for something like that, maybe all sports programs can use throughout the season or whatnot?
Yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting thought. I mean, it'd have to be something quite versatile to be able to accommodate. I mean, when you're accommodating over 100 football players, then you've got a much smaller number for just about any other sport. I think it's cool to be able to do something like this. You know what? It's probably I bet they don't mind it at Grand National either, because this isn't the busiest time of year either.
No, it is. I guess it is graduation.
It is
for a little bit, but it's not a huge number.
That's right.
And there's still a number of hotel. Yeah, no, for them, you're like absolutely, because
that's a bonus.
Well, they get it during the season, so it's honestly something too for the players. That'll benefit them during the year because they'll be used to being at Grand National, kind of being away. That's where they go for home games. I'm assuming that's where they'll do it again this year. But so you get away.
That's where they go for home games?
Yeah, they've been doing that the last few years, going mm-hmm. out there and staying there the night before. They used to go to Valley, and then they went to Montgomery for a little while. Now they stay in town, but you get away. So it gives them it'll give them a chance to get a feel for what, you know,
this
being
is really
away Friday
prep,
nights,
right?
All that. Every this how you feel before a game, yes, you'll get to do all those things.
Well, we'll see what happens in the next few weeks or whatnot. As far as practice schedule, I know they don't have a true 2 days anymore. Do they practice so many days before you can have 2 days in a row or whatnot?
You can't have twice in 1 day, period.
Yeah.
Zero.
Oh, you can't.
No, I mean, you can have meetings, but
you can only one day on
the field.
You can go you can do a walkthrough kind of thing mm-hmm. or whatever, but you can't do that. And I don't know anymore. I don't think you can have back-to-back days. And you can't have back-to-back scrimmage type days. You can wear full pads back-to-back days, but you can only have a certain amount of contact per day when you do that as well.
Well, man, how long are these practices now? I mean, when I played, like 3 hours in the morning, 3 hours in the evening.
That's about a couple of hours now.
They'll get out a little bit beforehand and do some things before. Mm-hmm. Usually two, a little over 2 hours probably. And that's it. We're talking about it's so different now because – when we practiced and when those are like part of this was getting in shape. So part of the practice was
they don't,
to do
they don't
that.
Have to worry about that anymore, Anthony.
That,
I mean,
all they're doing is wearing guys out right now if they stay out there any longer.
Well, guys, I appreciate it. And as the season is starting to, unfold, I'll call back and we'll talk a little bit.
Sounds good.
Thanks,
Anthony.
Appreciate
good
to hear
it.
From
you. All right. Thank y'all. Thank you.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline. I mean, it is different. Like we were saying in the first hour, it's not getting guys in shape. I mean, they all are in about as good a shape as they've ever been. And they've had, you know, they've had all summer to learn the systems and everything. Even more, Alex Goldust was talking about it today. He said, you know, the just about everything's installed now. It's not like you're having to learn the playbook and learn the system, things like that. Now it's, you know, get out there and let's see how you respond and react. You're, you know, hopefully you're not as much in the thinking phase anymore. It's now let's just see how well you do, because they're trying to find, you know, who they can count on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. When you look at it going, you know, what's the purpose? What are you doing? How would you make this work? All those things, I think it is, it's part of what you have to deal with in camp to go, okay. And well, listen, we've talked enough to Alex Golish and hearing him talk about this is a no stone left unturned guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he wants to approach things. That's what he wants to do.
Hey, so, they're going to work. They're going to work these guys. This is going to be a physical fall. I mean, he didn't, you know, he talked about they're going to scrimmage a couple of times.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Saturday will be the first day in pads. The next two Saturdays after that will be scrimmages.
But he mentioned another word. He mentioned competition a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they don't have a bunch of scrimmages doesn't mean there's not a lot of competition.
Right.
And I think that's what you can do, whether it's red zone, whether it's 2 minute, all those things. Those are competition opportunities where you learn a lot about your team, learn a lot about those guys. Who is he ready to be the guy? It's just not scrimmage opportunities that open up the door and settle those things. It's every day and how you compete and how you do things in certain drills. So it starts tomorrow. And listen, school starts the 17th.
Mm-hmm.
You think about camp, and he's like, we'll have maybe a few days into this school starting before camp ends, basically is what he said too. So you're talking about a little over 2 weeks or so of, listen, it's a grind mentally, probably more than physically for them, but it's going to be meetings. You know, coming on, like it's going to be football 24/7, and that's going to be a little bit different for a lot of these guys.
Oh yeah, yeah, you're right about that. I mean, this is going to be a completely new experience for some of them. But yes, I mean, when you hear Alex Golish talking about the competition, and just we had a caller the other day that was wondering. Saying, and he said something, and I chuckled a little bit when he did. He said, I hope there are not a lot of guys standing around. No. I didn't see much of that this spring.
No, there's pretty much movement. They're always moving, and when they get done with the period, they move to the next period. Now, they have, because you have to now, you have built-in breaks.
Right.
Where you do your water, and sometimes there'll be a built-in break that includes some fruit, something like that, to give them a little energy, whatever. But, no, there's not a whole lot of wasted time.
No.
Because even in the
– well, look, I mean, when you want to go fast, and that's something Alex
correct.
Golish does,
yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to practice slow.
Well, even in the team periods, where normally you have a team period and you're going, well, you got your first team on defense, first team offense, and everybody
and
else is
kind
of
watching.
Now they have a team period on one field and have a team period on another field.
It was crazy when we were out there this spring and you'd see them lined up down the field with an offensive and a defensive guy going – Multiple guys going against each other
correct.
At the same
yeah,
time.
So you're getting a lot of work done in one time. And the first time I ever saw that, I went to a Hoover practice, early 2000, something mm-hmm. like that, and I'm thinking, man, they had a first-team defense versus a second-team offense, and they had a first-team offense versus second-team defense, and then they had third teams going against each other, and they were all doing it at the same time. And I went – that's genius. Now, a lot of people have that ability.
Now, the thing is, it takes
a lot of
having a pretty good staff.
And a lot of coaches.
You've got to have a lot of eyes watching.
Yes, but to be able to
but
do
now,
that.
Now that you don't have a limit.
Yes, you can get those reps. And so you do that. So when you're talking about, boy, Byron Brown got all these reps. Well, then you're like Tristan Tia and whoever. Like all these quarterbacks
yeah,
are going to get they're going to get multiple reps, and it might not be against the first team, but there's nothing better than actually running the play. You know, people are like, well, you get these mental reps, and I think about well, guys just standing behind somebody watching it. That's good and great, but there's nothing like doing it on your own, and you're going to see a lot of those guys get a lot of those reps in this preseason.
I thought about some. I saw somebody respond as they were responding to some of the comments today. When there was a talk about the depth at running back, and, you know, how much work are they going to get? And, you know, hearing that they're going to rep five or six guys here. And the first response was, well, that's not going to be very many reps for any of them. Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is. When you get as many plays as they do, it'll be a lot. And the game will be different.
Yeah, sure. They're not going to be playing five or
six
guys.
But as I said, in practice, you can get reps for those guys, no question about it. I ran into Tay Meadows, a guy that I've watched since high school at Hanley. And I said, hi, do you get to go home in? He goes, no, not really. We're here pretty much the whole time. Like, it is a never-ending thing. People, like, you think about the way it used to be, and you go, like, we're talking about report day, and you go to camp, and I mean, you practice two or three times a day.
And one of the reasons you'd have multiple practices is you'd need a practice separate for the young guys, or the new guys.
So the freshmen would practice the first couple of days under Tuberville, and then you get the old guys in. Well, he's got, I mean, there's only four guys.
Don would talk about hating that because he had to do two practices.
Yeah, that's it. And that was it. And you do this, and you're doing one thing to go, like, this is baby steps.
Teaching here.
And the other guy's like, okay, let's get ready. They don't have to do it anymore. Those guys are here, and if you don't know it, and if you hadn't caught up, then it's too bad. You're left behind.
That's right.
Because you have to hit the ground running right now.
Yeah, it's different. That's where guys that are injured can really fall behind, and it's tough to catch up. If you weren't with us in hour number one of the things when we first came on and talked about, you're gonna see quite a few comments and stories about Omar Mabson. I mean, because there's no question, he was one of the most highly praised players today by Alex Golish and Joel Gordon. It's going to be really interesting seeing how that running back room shakes out. You mentioned Tay Meadows. I mean, Auburn brought in three guys that had been the number one guy at their place, along with a near 1,000-yard rusher in Jeremiah Cobb
very
impressive young guys.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, like, you know, I had somebody asking about Alvin Henderson, like his plans. I'm like, right now there are none. Like, he's got to work himself into that group to get into the plan. Can he do it? Yeah, he can do it. But there's a lot of bodies to jump over right now when you're talking about this running back, Dale, because you're right. It feels like 1-2 right now are going to be hard to supplant at this moment because of what they've done. And then you think about a guy like Bryson Washington, the experience factor, size factor. He's a different kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Great hands, catches passes. Like to me, you look at that, and then Nakai Davenport's a big physical guy too. I mean, like, there's a lot of guys there, and that's as deep a position. You think about, you know, linebacker's really good. Running back's probably the deepest position on this team.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you start talking
because you're generally just playing one.
Yes, I think, like, it's not 19. You think about, you know, you go in 1984 and 80 when you go when man you had Bo Jackson and Brent Fullwood and Collis Campbell and you know on and on and on and on. Yeah, well, you played three of those guys at a time because one of them played fullback and you had two halfbacks. Like, you don't even have a fullback now. You just got one guy, and so it's hard to get everybody involved.
Yep, but we'll try to start sorting things out tomorrow morning. So looking forward to that. We'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join in if you'd like, 334-321-1390, as we wind things down here on the Tuesday Drive.
Let's get back to the drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final few minutes here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill, Jason Caldwell from Auburn 247 here in the studio. Jason, you mentioned one guy a little while ago that got me thinking. I mean, are there always some guys that may not have been at the top of everybody's mind that this is an opportunity that they take advantage of and they step up. You mentioned Sam Turner as a guy that, you know, folks probably have not thought as much about because he was banged up some and didn't get on the playing field. And then there was all the newcomers and everybody else out there this spring. Are there some other players that you feel like this is an opportunity and they have the ability to step up that I mean, we'll start finding out more tomorrow, and there'll probably be some guys we haven't talked about that will. But who are some guys that you think might take advantage of the opportunity?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a lot of. I mean, I guess it's because of similarities in maybe their history. But I think about Walter Mathis Jr. And I think about Xavier Atkins.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't hear a whole lot about
Xavier
Atkins.
Oh, no, you're
Atkins
right. I mean, it didn't sound like that, you know, a lot of LSU folks were just brokenhearted. And,
no.
Man, I think you just anybody would like to have that All-American linebacker back. Xavier, of course, took advantage of the opportunity and ran with it.
Yes, I think about Buddy Mathis. I think about a guy like that going, listen, that's the guy.
Man, he was really highly touted.
Auburn really wanted him when he came out. And you go, okay, kind of jump into a new system in the spring.
And he's young, too.
Like, yes. And so that's a guy that I think about going, okay, could he be ready to kind of jump in here and do some things?
Well, it would be great because, yeah. I mean, that's in a spot where you're looking
and
for.
And I'm telling you, a guy to step up. We mentioned it because DJ Durkin thought, you know, B-Matt was asking about Darion Smith when he was talking about Jared Smith.
Right.
Darion Smith's a guy that I think is slept on tremendously. He's up to 283 now, 263, excuse me. But I think he's a defensive end guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about playing him at maybe a true defensive end.
Strong side end who can rush, get in the backfield.
Who can rush the passer.
Oh, yeah.
Give you some options to, like, you know, think about those guys. And so, yeah, like, you know, I mentioned Gavin Jenkins a bunch. So he's been talked about a lot. But, like, you start thinking about other guys and potential and, I think J.J. Falk's a guy that could be there because, listen, he's 260. He's a big, physical kid.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he's always been kind of overshadowed. Like, really, even when he was – I mean, all the way through, he's been, you know, Keldrick's little brother.
Right.
And you look at him and you go, man, that guy don't look like anybody's little brother. Like, he looks the part for sure. Can he become a guy that says, I'm just going to be a dog? He's always been extremely talented, but you've always felt like he's a guy. And Keldrick was the same way.
Mm-hmm.
When Keldrick came out of high school, I was like, man, can he get mean enough? Because you feel like, God, he's so nice. And you're like, and JJ's the same way. And Keldrick became that guy. Like, can JJ now go, okay, I'm fixing to go rip somebody's head off. Like, can he do that? Because I think he's a guy. And there's one more. I didn't see him a lot at him in the spring. But Scrap Richardson – the guy they loved. He went to Notre Dame, played wide receiver.
Right.
Now he's back at corner, and that's what they wanted him the whole time. Extremely athletic, pretty big kid at 6'1", 195. I mean, like, can he get involved somehow? Like, that's a position at corner where you start going, okay, there's
some opportunities there.
Correct. So, yep. I mean, just some off-the-radar guys. Buddy Mathis is the one that keeps coming to me because I'm thinking, like, there's going to be a lot of rotation. They're going to play a lot of different bodies up there.
Oh, Vontrell's going to play him. If he feels like they can help,
can
he'll
he
play him.
get into there with Cody Sigler and give you the athletic, quick twitch kind of guys that you're looking for at that position?
Just in time, the music playing there. Jason, always great to have you in, man. Really appreciate it. Let folks at the top of the hour we did, but remind folks in case they didn't hear the opportunity they have if they've never been a subscriber, and of course. Some of the things coming up.
Correct, yeah. If you haven't subscribed to us before, it's 60% off right now. That includes Paramount Plus subscription. So it's as good a deal as you're going to get. So you're talking about $5 a month to get all of our content and Paramount Plus. You can't beat that. And so if you haven't subscribed, come join us. I think we had 11 things today, videos. Subscribe to our YouTube page, Auburn247 as well. So a whole lot going on. And hey, we haven't even started yet. They haven't even had a football practice.
That's
so
right.
We'll
just
have a whole lot more.
Tomorrow. That is exactly right. That's going to wrap things up for the Tuesday drive. I'll see you in the morning, JC. We will be back tomorrow. Adam Cole joins us. Hope you will as well. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.